Details of this morning's service of morning prayer can be found on Pew News. Turn, please, to page 101. Beloved in Christ, we come together to offer to Almighty God our worship and praise and thanksgiving, to confess our sins and to receive God's forgiveness, to hear his holy word proclaimed, to bring before him our needs and the needs of the world, and to pray that in the power of his Spirit we may serve him and know the greatness of his love. Let us confess our sins to God, our Father. Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbour in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault, by what we have done and by what we have failed to do. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us Forgive us all that is past, and grant we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please stand. O Lord, open our lips. O God, make speed to save us. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord.
Today's Gospel tells us of Jesus at a wedding. Ancient poems sang of God becoming a bridegroom to his people and giving them a new name. Listen as Isaiah delights in what the Lord will do. The Old Testament reading is from Isaiah chapter 62, beginning at verse 1. For Zion's sake I will not keep silent, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest, until her vindication shines out like the dawn, and her salvation like a burning torch. The nations shall see your vindication, and all the kings your glory, and you shall be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will give. You shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. You shall no more be termed forsaken, and your land shall no more be termed desolate. But you shall be called, my delight is in her, and your land married. For the Lord delights in you, and your land shall be married. For as a young man marries a young woman, so shall your builder marry you. And as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall your God rejoice over you.
In the Gospel of John, the miracles of Jesus are signs of who he is and therefore what God is like. The first sign is almost unnoticed. At a village wedding among his friends and family, Jesus made extravagant quantities of water into the finest wine. The ordinary became the extraordinary. The New Testament reading is from John chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern is that to you and to me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now standing there were six stone water jars of the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. He said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the chief steward." So they took it out. Then the steward tasted the water that had become the wine and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. The steward called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk. But you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this, the first of his signs in Cana of Galilee, and revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. All the preparations had been carefully done. The day had arrived, and the guests had made their journey. For many of those guests, it would have been quite a long journey over numerous days to get to Cana of Galilee for the wedding. It was a good news day, and people in biblical times, as in today's times, really wanted to come to celebrate and to share in the joy of the occasion. And everybody had now gathered. All was going so very well, until something happened that was going to cause huge social embarrassment for the family who were hosting the wedding. They ran out of wine. There was heart-stopping moments. What on earth were we going to do? All these people had come considerable distances to be here to share the joy of this couple's wedding. And the worst social disaster that could happen had happened. What were the guests going to think? What was going to be said of us? The family were, I'm sure, thinking in their own minds in days and weeks and months to come. All this effort, all of this sacrifice to be here, and there's no wine. That was a disaster. in biblical times. And of course, in biblical times, weddings didn't just end on one particular day. They went on for many days. They really didn't know how to celebrate and to celebrate well. Jesus was there, as was his mother. His mother was quick to realize, yes, this was indeed a disaster. And she didn't want this family to have unnecessary difficulty. And so she quickly points this out to Jesus. In other words, she was saying to her boy, sort it, in the way that mothers can. Jesus, of course, is very quick with the reply, look, mother dear, this isn't our problem. We really shouldn't be getting involved, should we? But Jesus' mother wasn't going to let matters sit just at that point. She says to all the servants who were there, do whatever Jesus tells you. No more has to be said. She has the servants primed that should something be happening, just do it. Don't ask any questions. Don't give excuses as to why you can't. Just do it. Jesus understands just what is going on. Mary has set the scene, and no more prompting of Jesus is required. No more words have to be said. Jesus now begins to find a solution to this social embarrassment. And what does he do? Let's look at it objectively for a few moments. Jesus takes what is there. He takes the ordinary in those jars of water, uses what he has around him to find a solution, and then the penny drops. All those who were there, when they start tasting this water in the jars, realize that it is no longer water, but the ordinary water has become wine. And not just cheap plonk at that, but the finest, the very best of wine for everyone to enjoy. The ordinary becomes extraordinary. And we see Mary here, the first of only two sightings in John's Gospel that we actually see Mary at the wedding at the Cana of Galilee, at the first of the signs that Jesus does. And we don't hear from her again until she's there at the foot of the cross on Good Friday, at that point of extreme suffering. But what she does here is very much a defining moment. She recognizes the situation. She knows Jesus, her son, is there. She knows a solution can be found. She has got faith in her son. And they take what they have around them and they find the solution from within. I wonder in our own lives, when we hit difficulty, or when after a lot of hard work and preparation, and we've given of our best, something happens. I wonder, where do we turn to find a solution, to find a way forward? Let it be in our jobs. Let it be in a social environment. Let it be in our marriage. Let it be in our home and family life. Let it be in something we are involved in outside in the community. What do we do when something goes terribly wrong? How do we begin to find a way forward? I'm sure if we're honest, we may hit the panic button immediately. And when you do that, all sense of reason can go flying out the window in abundance. But in that very familiar story of the wedding at Cana of Galilee, we do find some very good pointers to assist us. Because Jesus started with what was around him, with the ordinary circumstances and the ordinary items that were all around him. Sometimes in our own lives, we can dismiss the ordinary. We can dismiss the ordinary items that are around us and we chuck them out. Why would we even begin to look at those ordinary items or that ordinary person? What good can they be? We might think. If Jesus had done that at the wedding of the Cana of Galilee, there would have been no wine. Because there would have been no opportunity of going down to the off-license, because the off-license didn't exist to get what was required. Sometimes we can be too severe at knocking out the ordinary in our own lives and knocking out the ordinary resources we all have. And we may well think they have no purpose, no use, and what on earth can they do to even begin to find a solution? But Jesus, in that familiar reading, knocks all of that firmly on its head. Because he starts at the local level with the ordinary events around him. And takes the ordinary, and through the taking of the ordinary, and notice the transformation of that water into wine only happens when Mary has spoken. It only happens when Mary had instructed the servants to do whatever Jesus tells you. If we're told to do something, I wonder what is our reaction? If you're told to do it, maybe it might be, though we wouldn't admit it in public, to do anything other than what was told for us to do. We may well want to be in defiance. But those servants listened to Mary. And that started the process, and only that start enabled Jesus to come and to take it and to make that water extraordinary, and it was magnificent wine, and the social status of that family was maintained. The guests all had a very good time, and they went on their way after the wedding, and no damage was done. So often in our own world, which is getting faster and faster, we want to get a solution yesterday, and we therefore are going so fast, we omit to start with what we have, with the benefits and the resources which all of us have. And we forget also, don't we, to bring Jesus in. Jesus was physically there at the wedding at Cana of Galilee, and he is involved, and he doesn't ignore, he gets on with it, and that solution is found. We're now at day 20 of January. Christmas is now long since gone. Long since packed away back up in our roof space with all of the decorations. And the amenity centre queues have now all passed by. And it's back to normal daily work at the amenity centres. All that dumping and ditching post-Christmas is all away. But the Christmas message is still here. Emmanuel, God with us. Christ hasn't just popped up on Christmas Day and gone away again for 365 days. He is still here, day and daily, if only we would have eyes to see that he is here in the midst of us and to bring him in to our situation, wherever that may be. Because that's what Mary did, though he was physically there beside her. Jesus is there with us to guide us and to direct us and to support us in the midst of our ordinary existence, in the midst of all of our problems and concerns and challenges, to start with what we have around us. And we have so many riches around us that could be wonderful if we hand them over to Jesus to take the ordinary that we have, the ordinary of our lives, the ordinary gifts around us, and by giving them over to Jesus for him to make them extraordinary, for wonderful grace, for wonderful benefit, for wonderful support for us, for our church, for our community, for our homes, for our marriages, for every aspect of our lives. That is what Jesus did at that wedding, the first of his signs at Cana of Galilee. May we take the benefits of what Jesus did on that occasion and take them into our daily lives here in January 2019 and not dismiss the ordinary and not dismiss Jesus, but to embrace all of that together and to use that as a starting point when there are challenges. And to do that, the results may well surprise us for the good. May well be a solution we hadn't ever thought of, hadn't ever worked through, because we're too busy panicking and too busy going so fast we omit the obvious. Jesus is there. Let us invoke him into our own lives 24/7, and let us not forget all that we have and the richness of the blessings of the ordinary aspects of our lives given to Christ can give extraordinary blessing to the work of his kingdom here in this church, in our own lives and beyond day and daily. Now that would be a resolution if you haven't already got one. That would be one for 2019. And now to God, Father, Son and Holy Spirit be ascribed to his most justly due, all might, majesty, glory, dominion and power, henceforth and forevermore. Amen.
Our response is made in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Show us your mercy, O Lord. O Lord, save the Queen. Let your ministers be clothed with righteousness. O Lord, save your people. Give peace in our time, O Lord. O God, make clean our hearts within us. The appointed prayer for this Sunday, the second after the Epiphany. Almighty God, in Christ you make all things new. Transform the poverty of our nature by the riches of your grace. And in the renewal of our lives, make known your heavenly glory through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. O God, the author of peace and lover of concord, to know you is eternal life and to serve you is perfect freedom. Defend us in all assaults of our enemies, that we, surely trusting in your protection, may not fear the power of any adversaries. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, in whom we live and move and have our being, we humbly pray that your Holy Spirit may so guide and govern us that in all the cares and occupations of our daily life, we may never forget your presence, but may remember that we are always walking in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen.
Let us pray.
We ask God to grant us an attentive stillness, that stillness in which God's word can take root. Heavenly Father, you have promised through your Son, Jesus Christ, that when we meet in his name, he will be among us and hear our prayer. In your love and mercy, fulfill our desires and give us your greatest gift, which is to know you, the only true God, and your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us to be still before you, and we will wait for your instructions. Bless us that we may hear your still, small voice. Remind us that it's not important who does the planting, nor who does the watering. What's important is that God makes the seed grow. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for those that have been called by you to minister to the children and the young people in our Sunday school classes. We pray that each one would be filled with the Holy Spirit and have a deep desire and ability to guide the young people in their charge into a thorough knowledge of the Word of God and the plan of salvation. Give them the ability and understanding to guide these people and teach a Christian pathway with doctrine sound teaching. We pray that each teacher will recognize the vital role they play in the spiritual development of those in their charge and the important role and responsibility they have in laying a firm and sure spiritual foundation for their lives. Equip each one, we pray, with a desire to study your word for themselves, so that they too may grow in grace and increase their knowledge and love of the Lord Jesus. And we pray that by their example, the children and young people that they teach will also develop a desire to have their personal walk with the Lord Jesus. And so, Lord, we pray that you would use each one to encourage the children they teach of the importance of reading the Word of God, studying the Bible, and learning the scriptures for themselves, so that they too may mature in the faith and be enabled to stand firm in a world that seems to have forgotten God who created them. May these Sunday school classes be places where the Lord Jesus is lifted high, so that all who attend will draw each one unto himself or their self. In Jesus' name we pray. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Dear God, we praise you for your love and faithfulness. We thank you for your protection and care over our families and friends. Thank you that you give us the power to love well, the wisdom to lead and teach our children. We know you're for us, that you fight for our families and friends today. You are Redeemer, Restorer, and Friend. We believe you have good in store. We confess some days can be tough. Many days we feel anxious or overwhelmed. We ask that you would make us more like you, more aware of your constant presence in our lives. Help us to realize or to release our children to you so that you are free to fully accomplish all that you desire in them, through them. Please fill us with your truth and cover us with your favour. Lord, we pray these blessings today and every day. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Dear Lord, your love in us is like a flame that burns within our hearts, giving light to all we do and everything that we are. Sometimes it dances in our souls. At times it dims or flickers low when hard times come our way. Even in the darkest hours, let us sense your light afresh, reminding us to trust in you. Remind us that no matter what lies ahead for us, that you will always be there for us. Help those and guide those who have difficult decisions to make. Lord, you have told us to be still and know that you are God. Be still and wait and rest our soul, for every flame needs gentle fuel. Your love is the key for keeping the still candle burning alight in us. It guides our lives, our thoughts, our dreams, and shines for all to see. Thank you for the happiness and peace that you give us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Amen.
Yours is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all things come from you, and of your own we give you. Please be seated. Following this service, the Sunday School have very kindly hosted the refreshments. I do hope that you can wait behind for tea, coffee and biscuits and chat. On a day like today, some hot coffee and refreshments just what's required before we make our way outside on our onward journey. This is the week of prayer for Christian unity, and as is our custom on this particular day each year, we participate in the Belmonton District Council of Churches United Service, and this year is being hosted by our daughter parish, St. Malo's in Stormont, beginning at 6:30. It would be lovely to see good representation from St. Columba's at that service. I do hope that you can accompany me to it. And as a result, there will be no evening service here this evening in St. Columba's. While you're having coffee, can I just remind you about the church flower rota for 2019? It's situated on the notice board just down at the back of the church. And do please place your name against a Sunday of your choice that is convenient for doing the sanctuary flowers. And further information can be got from Eleanor Launchbury if you wish for clarification. Let us pray.
Go forth from this place in peace. Render to no one evil for evil, but cleave to that which is good. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, remain with you, now and always.
love and serve the Lord.